Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Live at Ship Brothers Brewing, tonight's show is brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing. Here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
Our high school that we are featuring are the Lakewood Lancers, and we'll talk some Lakewood football here in just a couple of minutes. But let's recap some of the other games from this past Friday night. Again, a kind of a rough night for our Licking County groups that went outside of the county and played some teams. Really, no one got too successful, minus the Granville Blue Aces, as they took care of Washington Courthouse at Walter J. Hodges Stadium by a final of 70-14. Yeah, that's your final score. Quarterback Beckett Lawn had 5 first-half touchdowns in the victory. He threw 2 touchdown passes to Jacob Culver and 1 to Cash Thomas, along with Noble Terrible, who had 4 touchdowns the week before. Beckett and Kyle Kirby added touchdown runs. Theo Talbot also hit pay dirt with a pitch 6 as the Blue Aces had a 48-7 halftime advantage. Caden Rosendahl had a score in the third quarter, and then backup quarterback Jackson McMillan threw a touchdown pass to Patrick McCarthy for the final score. So Granville remains undefeated, and not to pick on my brethren, but I love to pick on my brethren in the media. It was an absolute joke that the Granville Blue Aces did not even receive votes for the first AP poll in Division III. You are not going to be able to convince me that 15 teams in Division III are better than Granville. Now, it was interesting that 3 teams from that same region did hit the top 10, but Granville, if they want a chip on their shoulder, maybe that'll help a little bit as well, not to be recognized across the state for what they've been able to do the last several years and what they've done so far this season. But nevertheless, they move to 4-0 on the season, defeating Washington Courthouse, who is still winless. Again, the final there was 70-14. Kind of surprising that 2 schools which are relatively close to each other have never played football. That would be the Johnstown Johnnies and Mount Vernon. Well, that came to an end Friday night as the Johnnies hosted Mount Vernon, and it was all Johnstown getting a 41-0 shutout victory over Mount Vernon, and moved to 3-1 on the season after losing the week before to Granville. Johnstown led as usual by rushing the football, 119 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns by their quarterback Sam Marisak, who did throw in 73 passing yards, so had over 200 yards in total offense. Running back Nana Owusu also averaged 6 yards, had 126, and he scored 3 touchdowns as well. So Johnstown, we talked about offensively what they're able to do. How about their defense? In 4 games, they have shut out 3 of their opponents. So they only gave up 84 yards of total offense. So congratulations to what Johnstown has been able to do so far this season, especially on the defensive side of the ball. In those 3 shutouts, they were giving up less than 100 yards of total offense in both of those victories. So Johnstown moves to 3-1 on the season. Couple of tough matchups for Utica and Watkins Memorial. Utica had to go on the road to play West Lafayette Ridgewood, and the Generals got a 35-0 homecoming win against the Redskins on Friday night. Utica just not able to get anything going on offense. They had 3 first downs, 8 yards rushing, 54 total yards, while the Generals had 298 yards rushing, 413 total yards. We talked about Johnstown's defense. How about this for the Generals? They're not in our area, but it's still a pretty impressive stat. They gave up a season-opening safety to Coshocton. Since then, they have scored 164 unanswered points. That's pretty impressive, and that's why they're one of the best teams in the state. So Utica was just not able to get anything going on offense. Hayden Piper did finish with 9 of 19 passing for 46 yards, and Utica hopes to get back on track this week. Watkins Memorial still looking for their first win on the season, and they got to host Hartley last week. And Hartley, when they're able to run the football, they are basically unbeatable. And they had 347 yards rushing. Robert Lathan, he's their main weapon. He had 17 carries, 207 of those 347, two touchdowns as they got a 37-7 win as Hartley improves to 3-1. They led 22-0 at the half after outgaining the Warriors 269-25 in the first two quarters, and then they kind of coasted to the victory. Drew Samso, a bright spot, did return from injury and was 7 of 17 for 83 yards. Graham Smith, his second start at running back, had 12 carries for 70 yards, and Jaden Ricketts had 4 catches for 47 yards. Also want to give props to John Apel, who went back to receiver after playing quarterback a couple weeks ago. He had 10 tackles and played a big role as a wide receiver, but again, Hartley just too much for the Warriors. And a big matchup in the state coming up this Friday. Hartley goes down to the river to Tank Stadium to take on the Ironton Tigers. That should be a very impressive game, no doubt about that. Watkins will look to get their first win of the season when they do host Johnstown coming up this Friday. As we mentioned, the Johnnies are 3-1. Another team still looking for their first win on the season, that would be Newark Catholic. They went up to Mogador. Both teams surprisingly winless going into that ball game, but Mogador comes out on top by a final of 39-7 as they kept the Green Wave offense in check. In fact, they were not able to score, Newark Catholic was, until the fourth quarter. A 64-yard touchdown pass from Miller Hutchinson to Carter Chuka for the 7 points. Mikey Hess had 64 yards rushing, and Hutchinson threw for 77 yards as Newark Catholic now winless in 4 contests. Northridge had a heartbreaker a couple weeks ago against Granville Heights, losing in double overtime 17-14. Then they had to travel up north right near the lake, taking on Milan Edison, a team unbeaten, and the Vikings fell 36-0 as they were held to 100 yards of total offense. Dylan Chambers did have 2 interceptions for Northridge's defense, but just too much Milan Edison as they went to 4-0 and Northridge now 2-2. A heartbreaker for Licking Heights. It looked like they were going to have just a huge victory on the road at Buckeye Valley, but the Barons scored a touchdown and a 2-point conversion with just 19 seconds left to get a 1-point victory over the Hornets 16-15. Heights had a 9-0 lead at halftime on a touchdown and a safety, but they were only able to extend their lead to 15-0 late. And then the Barons, as they did against Heath in week 2, found a way to win in the fourth quarter, scoring all their points in the final 5 minutes. And in the Heath game, they scored their final 14 points in the final 5 minutes. So, as coaches always say, you got to play to the final snap, and Buckeye Valley definitely does that. So Licking Heights unfortunately falls to 1-3. The Newark Wildcats had their toughest test to date. They were on the road at Groveport taking on the Cruisers, and it started well for Newark as they were able to take, after a huge opening kickoff by Drayson Peterson down to the Cruiser 25-yard line. Bodie Smith then found his favorite receiver in the end zone for 25 yards, and the Wildcats were up 7-0. Then they got an interception, but it didn't lead to any points. Groveport then had a 50-yard touchdown, tying the game at 7, but the Wildcats' offense came right back. Colton Peterson had a huge run, got it down to the Groveport 26, and then Smith hit Preston Lunsford for a 7-yard touchdown, and it was 13-7. Newark, things looking good, but those were the last points that Newark scored in the ballgame as Groveport runs up 49 points consecutively and gets the 56-13 victory. It basically happened in the second quarter. A couple of interceptions, an 86-yard touchdown by Kane once again, then back-to-back interceptions. Groveport was able to convert both their turnovers into scores, and it was a 28-13, and then they were able to, on a third interception, get a one-handed catch in the end zone for a 35-13 lead at half, and that was basically it for Newark. So the Cats' first loss on this 2024 campaign that puts them at 3-1. They are back home Friday night. They will entertain the Chieftains of Logan, and we'll have that game for you right here on Kate 98.7 with the pregame at 6:45 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. The game we did have for you this past Friday night was a crossover matchup in the LCL between the Heath Bulldogs on a current four-game road trip. This was game number two, and they took on the Licking Valley Panthers, who have had a very exciting first three games of the season, beating Sheridan, losing to West Muskingum in overtime, and then rallying to win at Bishop Reedy 20-14 in week number three. So they entertained the Bulldogs looking for revenge after a 46-17 defeat. Valley got the ball first, drove down, got it to within the 10-yard line, but fumbled the football, and Heath recovered. But then Heath went after one first down. They ended up punting, and Valley got the ball back, and they decided, we're not going to take our chances. Let's go to the air this time.
On third down and 14, Rogers to throw. A little bit of pressure, steps up, fires over the middle, and a man wide open and making the catch. It's Walker, 25-20, 10-5, house call, Valley. Cam Walker just running away from the Heath defense, takes it to the house for 49 yards, and Valley takes a 6-0.
So they went up 6-0. They were able to get a two-point conversion as well and led 8-0. And then a couple of possessions later, they decided, let's go back to the ground game again since they have a real good one in Trenton Marcus, and he took it in.
Second and goal from the four. Here's Marcus, gets a good surge ahead, and he is into the end zone for a touchdown for Licking Valley. Trenton Marcus 4 yards out, and the Panthers go on top 14-0.
They kicked the extra point, and that made it 15-0 at halftime. And then Valley got the ball to start the third quarter, and they wanted to put the old nail in the coffin, and that's exactly what they did.
Third and goal. Here's the pass to Walker. Makes a couple nifty moves. It's a house call for Licking Valley. Again, Walker gets the pass at the line of scrimmage, and he does the 8 yards all on his own with a couple of sweet moves along the left sideline. And Valley now leads it 21-0.
Extra point was good. That made it 22-0, and that drive was 12 plays, 77 yards. But Walker said, you know what? I've scored a couple on offense. Maybe I should throw one on the defensive side.
Trips go to the far side on third and 7 for Heath. Gibson, he's got pressure, fires, and the catch made by Jones. And then there's a fumble, and it's picked up by Walker. 30, 20, 10. It is a touchdown for Cam Walker on defense as he takes the fumble recovery roughly 40 yards to pay dirt, and the Panthers have blown this one open.
So that made it 29-0, but Valley was not quite done yet. They figured one more air attack by their quarterback, Brody Rogers, that would be sufficient.
Rogers rolls to his right, got some pressure. He is looking long. He's got a man wide open, making the catch and getting into the end zone. It is Augie Conley once again. Boy, he and Walker are having field days tonight on the final play of the third quarter. That's a 35-yard touchdown pass with three touchdowns in this third quarter. Now lead it 34-0.
And that was Conley's third catch on that drive, and that sealed it. Final score, 35-0. So Licking Valley improves to 3-1. Heath falls to 1-3. So we talked about our game of the week, Logan and Newark. You've got Heath at Mount Vernon. Heath 1-3, Mount Vernon winless in four contests. We mentioned Watkins and Johnstown. Licking Heights 1-3. We'll travel to the team we'll talk about here shortly. Lakewood also 1-3 on the season. Newark Catholic winless goes to 3-1. Licking Valley. Granville unbeaten travels to 1-3. Utica and Zanesville still looking for their first win on the season. They will go to Northridge. The Vikings are 2-2. So that wraps up this past Friday. When we return here on the Licking County Locker Room, we'll talk Lakewood football. That's next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
338! Hey, football fans. As you know, a winning team starts with preparation, guidance, and the ability to work as a cohesive unit. Let Par Excellence STEM Academy instill confidence, social skills, and teamwork from the beginning to ensure your child's success as they progress through their grade levels, kindergarten through sixth grade. At Par Excellence STEM Academy, we'll help put the student in the student athlete. Our classes and lunches are free, so enroll today. Find out more at parexcellenceacademy.org or 740-344-7279.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Visit your Coyote dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, 3570 National Road in Hebron, or online at buckeyevalleyequipment.com.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love sweetness of.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at LashleyTractor.com.
At Husqvarna, we want you to enjoy cutting the grass, and that's why we build easy-to-operate residential zero-turn mowers. Husqvarna Zero Turns provide superior performance and maneuverability, are comfortable to drive, and easy to maintain. They feature powerful engines, durable cutting decks, rugged frames and casters, and ergonomic controls. Everything you need to make the mowing more enjoyable. Learn more about Husqvarna Zero-Turn Mowers at Wright Brothers Power or online at WrightBrothersPower.com.
Now, back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And welcome back, everyone. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing, 23 West Church Street in downtown Newark. Again, great food, great drink specials, anything you want. They have them right here. It's a beautiful night to come on down downtown. You can hang around outside, you can come in here, do what you need to do, but always a great opportunity for you to have some good food and drink here at Ship Brothers Brewing. All right, let's welcome in Lakewood first-year head coach Tyler Brown. Coach, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I have to ask you, After teaching math all day, is football practice easier or harder than having students really want to focus in on math? Because that's no easy task, Coach.
No, you're right about that. It's probably harder to go out there and coach for 3 hours or so and try to herd the cats around. And you know, teaching math and geometry is kind of second nature. And sometimes football, it's not straightforward. It's not black and white. Everything, you know, every day is different, and you know, every part of practice is different. So, you know, it's every week's different, you know, in terms of who we're playing and how we have to prep. So, yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
24 years, I believe, as an assistant coach in the football ranks. This is your first head coaching gig. How has the adjustment gone for you personally? Because you obviously know the game, you know how to run practices and things like that, but there's a different twist when you are the head man.
Right. And I'm fortunate because being at Lakewood this long or being around these kids in the off season, it just makes it so much easier. You know, when you go into a situation where you don't know the kids, that's, you know, you're every day is a challenge. And you know, don't get me wrong, I mean, we've had our ups and downs this summer and to start the season, and you know, working out everyone's schedule and trying to be flexible and getting new coaches on board and old coaches on board. And but you know, now we're kind of, the dust has kind of finally settled a little bit, and these kids have kind of settled down, and they know what the expectations are and how we're, you know, what we're going to do on a Monday and a Tuesday and so on. And they, you know, me being their teacher, you know, or most of them, you know, in the past, and that's really helped. So, yeah, we have a great group of seniors and juniors, so it makes it a little bit easier now at this point in the season.
I wanted to bring up a couple of quotes that you had in the paper from when you got the job, and I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. I know these kids were with them in the off season and wanted to stick it out. So to me, that sounds like you felt like you had a responsibility, kind of what you just were alluding to, like, we're going to go through this thing together, and I'm going to be with you guys.
Yeah, it was a promise I made, a commitment to these kids that stuck around the off season during this transition. And, you know, not leaving a stone unturned, quote, was, you know, being a football coach for 24 years and being assistant for 24 years, and I've been in athletics for 29 years, you know, doing some other sports and things like that, and being around my own kids, I just wanted to make sure that I gave this a shot, and because this is something I've wanted, you know, all my coaching career and all my life, so to speak, ever since, you know, coaching college football, fresh out of college, and, you know, getting in the high school football coaching ranks, and, you know, that was 30 years ago. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was making the right decision, and these kids made it easier because they were putting the work in the weight room over the off season and in the spring, and I was ready to sail with these kids. I mean, all the way to through the season and you know, wherever that's going to take us.
Is it about, and when I've talked to a couple of other coaches in similar situations, and I'll look at Utica and Northridge as two of the examples of, it's about culture / family. Like, we are in it together. We need to start changing the culture, but we have to, it's going to probably be baby steps or things of that nature, but just understanding how to do different things to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So is it, I don't want to say culture is more important than wins and losses, but it is learning what you need to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to get ready for Friday?
Yeah, when you build a culture and the culture is already there, that makes winning so much easier, you know. So, you know, sometimes you can have some wins and you don't have no culture. You know, you have no family, you have no, you know, what is the commitment level, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
So there was already a foundation there. It's just, how do I add in my perspectives? How do I add in my different you know, modifications of how we do certain things, and how do I put my spin on, you know, just building the culture the way I want it. And, you know, being a teacher there for 12, now 13 years, or, you know, I coached at Lakewood when I first got that job 12, 13 years ago, and, you know, I've been under some good coaches, and I've been around some good coaches when I wasn't on staff, and they all try to build the culture, you know. But this year is different for a lot of reasons. We're building a feeder program that will connect directly into our high school that we've never had that before.
Okay,
it's been in conversation. It's the want to, but it's never been, set in stone, or it's never been fully followed through, if you will. And so now, the video league is going to feed into our middle school. And when I took this job back in May, I made sure that the middle school and the high school was doing everything in terms of our practice schedule and workout schedule. The middle school coaches were doing things with us, and we were hand-in-hand with them, and we were showing them drills and making sure they're doing the same thing we were doing. So, and then the Biddy League is, we're in close connection there, too, and we're helping them out, and they're helping us out, and obviously try to build culture that way.
So current record is 1-3. You got your first win against Betsley in week 3, and it was looking pretty good early on against Liberty Union. You had a 14-7 lead, and then did the roof just cave in, or just kind of what happened?
It was probably paralysis by analysis. I made a decision of kicking the ball a certain way, and it kind of bounced the wrong way and right into the front line guy, and they got great field position, and next thing it's tied, and then we throw an interception on a call that, it was something that we worked on over and over and over, but sometimes not enough. And, you step the wrong way, or you turn the wrong direction, or, whatever it was. And, then we had an interception, and then, we're down 27-14 at half, just like that. And it was, we were up with 2 minutes to go, like you said, right before half. So, did that deflate us a little bit? Probably, I'll be honest. I mean, Liberty Union came in with a good game plan. They followed the script that Bexley tried to do, they were pretty successful at it. They abandoned everything they had done before that we had practiced over and over and over and over, one of those deals. And,
yeah.
we just couldn't adjust.
So what was the mood after that? Because, I guess you want the players to be disappointed, but you don't want them to be dejected. Like, well, let's just throw in the towel. So overall, how did you feel it's still early in this week, but how do you think they've responded to that?
I've handled the 3 losses differently in terms of post-game speeches and things. And, you learn by what you say, too,
True.
And you learn by the kids and parents and stuff. And, the post-game speech was, guys, we still have goals, and we're coming in facing Licking Heights, an LCL opponent, crossover opponent, and then we got the rest of our division play. So I made sure it was clear that we still have our initial goals in mind, and we can still accomplish those goals. And, I didn't really go into the negative stuff per se then, because we knew at that point what had happened, but now today I addressed it,
Right, yeah.
there were some things, some pre-game things, some pre-travel things that I wasn't necessarily happy about that occurred, and I addressed it today. So hopefully we'll fix those issues.
And you're still dealing with 15 to 18-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody wants these guys to be grown up, and college players and NFL players, they're going to make mistakes, and they have to understand and learn from them. But, you're teaching math, but you're also teaching, life and football for those 3 hours, too.
Right, right. And, when we walk across those lines or walk between the lines, or, we cross that sideline, it's all football. But before that happens, sometimes we have to have conversations with the team or individuals. And, sometimes they're school issues, sometimes, academic related or not, or, just like you said, they're kids. And, then once we step on the field, we have to teach them the basics, and make sure that we can still block and tackle and play good technique and things like that. And, we still are still trying to get bigger, faster, stronger in the meantime, or at least maintain some strength. And, there's a lot that has to happen in that 3-hour period. Obviously, on Mondays, we don't go completely 3 hours. We kind of shorten it down just a little bit, and Thursdays, we shorten it down a little bit. But Tuesday and Wednesday, we go after it hard. And, and not all those 3 hours are on the field either. We're in the weight room. We're in the film room.
Right.
You know, talking academics, talking, you know, game plan, talking this, talking that. You know, we do have quite a few guys that come from C-Tech, and, you know, there's guys that have to get to the field, you know, and get ready to go. So, but, you know, from 3 to 6, roughly, you know, those are on long days, and we got a lot of work to get done.
What can you say with your time as being an assistant coach at a couple other LCL schools as well, what this league is like? Because it is somewhat, to me, interesting that you'd have so many high schools in just one county, mm-hmm. where kids see each other all the time. They may lift in the off season together, do different things. But it seems like it's a very healthy rivalry with schools, but also very well respectful.
Yeah, and you know, before the LCL got back together, I mean, it was the greatest, you know, decision they could make, you know, by having that tight, close county, you know, tightness that you were talking about, or rivalries, and, you know, being close together. And like I said, we have a lot of C-Tech kids. And, you know, for example, Connor's going to come on here in a little bit, and, you know, he goes to school with these kids, you know, kids that were going to play Friday or down the road here. And, you know, then come Friday nights, it's different, you know.
Yeah.
You're not classmates anymore, you know. You're across the line, you're on the gridiron, and it's, you're on battle, you're competing, and, you know, competing for the win, competing for the play or whatever, and, you know, but...
And for your community.
For your community, and, you know, like you said, a lot of these kids, you know, maybe they're wrestling together or playing basketball or running track or, you know, different clubs or different, you know, open gyms, and that's wide open for some of these kids to do things together. And, you know, football's a little different. It's that sport where you don't have a club football in the spring,
sure.
or club
yeah.
football in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably they're out there wrestling with these guys or playing baseball with these guys or basketball.
It is, but it is just amazing to see how well they get along. I mean, they hit each other hard, but at the end, it's good. So we're almost to the halfway point. What, outside of wins and what you want to accomplish, what are you looking for from the program for the second half of this season? And maybe it is something that I haven't hit on, but what are you looking for?
You know, that's a great thing that I've been, you know, great question I've been thinking about is, you know, we're approaching October. We're approaching that halfway point.
Which I always say it's the fastest 10 weeks of ever. I mean, it just seems like it flies right by.
You know, a team that has goals to go to the playoffs, it's really broken up into thirds, right? We're actually getting to the end of the third, right?
Yeah.
We still have two-thirds to go. We may even have three-thirds to go. You never know about that. You know, I've been in programs where I've went the distance, you know, and it's you got to really prepare yourself for that long haul, you know, and what I stated at the beginning with these kids is, yeah, we may be together for 3 hours or 2.5 hours, but a lot of our kids go both ways, and I can't burn them out before Friday comes around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't burn them out, you know, before the midpoint of the season or even two-thirds of the way. So I'm still trying to – I was reevaluating, you know, what you just asked me, and, you know, how do we keep it interesting? How do we keep them motivated? How do we keep it not getting stale, you know? You know, what can we do to – you know, it's homecoming week. You know, what in the past has happened that we need to change, to add, to improve, to make it a little bit more interesting and exciting, especially for homecoming week, you know, that maybe the kids have never experienced before.
Right.
You know, this is, not only is this my shot, right, my first year shot, but this is someone else's year, too, and it's these kids, you know. We're just living in it, right? And some of the, you know, these kids, this is the last year for the seniors,
mm-hmm.
you know, or what impression, what can I do to make it fun, interesting, enjoyable, you know, so, and I don't think, by any means, I'm not saying anything stale by this point, because it's not, you know, but, you know, you still got to go out there and work and show that these kids, you know, why we do what we do.
Right, and you're doing it for
yeah.
the juniors and the sophomores. You want to have that legacy. What can these seniors do to start building the blocks? I mean, you mentioned the Biddy program and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and then for these seniors, it's their level that they want to add to hopefully success in the next several years.
Yeah, and I want those juniors and sophomores and freshmen to come back.
Right.
Like, hey, I'll remember last year when we did this, remember last year when we did that, you know, and so we want them to keep coming back, too.
Well, let's bring bring on one of your stalwarts. We'll do that next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, Kate 98.7.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our healthcare technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
The Coyote NS tractor has everything you need to get the job done right without all the extras.
So maybe I can use my real voice now?
No.
Never mind. The Coyote NS tractor is a no-nonsense workhorse that doesn't rely on flashy displays to prove its worth.
You, still gotta do the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Coyote, we dig dirt.
Visit your Coyote dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, 3570 National Road in Hebron, or online at buckeyevalleyequipment.com.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
Turn your waste into a win. With Win Waste Innovations as your trash and recycling provider, your garbage will be handled locally, reliably, and sustainably at every step. Formerly Waste Away and Atkins Disposal, the Win Waste Innovations team in Heath is dedicated to our community and provides custom solutions for homes and businesses across Central Ohio, all backed by a 7-day-a-week customer service team. Visit win-waste.com or call 1-866-WIN-WASTE.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best prices of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use Pervious siding bought locally at MRV. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text mikesroofing.net.
Really, Dad?
Tank top, sweater, raincoat, snow parka. Which was it this morning when you left home? Hi, Chase Houston of Houston Plumbing and Heating. Ohio weather isn't predictable, but one thing sure is, York and Houston. For comfort you can count on year-round, call us today for a free estimate on an energy-efficient York heating and cooling system. When the temperature outside is up and down, York and Houston Plumbing and Heating will keep your inside cozy and comfy. Call us today at 740-763-3961. One call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
Hi, this is Chris from Kasip Service Center. A lot of people, they go to their doctor every 6 months or a year, and your vehicle should be no different. There are some problems you're not going to know until you have, but you can see some things coming. You need someone who's a professional to take a look and see any kind of upcoming maintenance events or any kind of impending problems that could be avoided. And as we all know, maintenance is so much less expensive than repair. Kasip Service Center, located in Johnstown, Granville, and online at k-seps.com.
Kasip's quality you can trust.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Let's get back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And we're back talking Lakewood High School football, and we're happy to be bringing in one of the stalwarts for the Lancers this year, Connor Ford Jr. All right, I got to be honest with you. So I read how you said you gained weight so you could move inside. Dude, I've gained weight. What? Give me the size. Give me the dimensions here.
I went from
I think freshman year I was 155 pounds when I started the first time, and then I am weighing around 210 right now.
But the percentage of fat can't be very much.
It's a little more, but yeah.
wait till you turn 30. It'll all change for you.
Yeah.
So, I know you'd like more wins than what you have so far this year, let's talk about the season and what you've liked with your teammates and how things have gone.
I like how in the Bexley game we really established our run game, mm-hmm. and really established that we can set the tone with our run game, and that we can switch out of formations and completely change what we're doing and just run the ball.
Last week, you were right there. You had the lead, and it just kind of fell apart in that second quarter. And I asked Coach just about the mentality of you guys and the players heading into this week, and what are your thoughts? Because you want to win, but you don't want it to be a lingering effect.
Yeah, we just need to limit the penalties, limit our turnovers. We had a bunch of turnovers that shouldn't have happened, and really just set our tone a lot better and be a little bit more locked in and ready for it.
I don't know what your aspirations are, but you already have coach speak. I mean, that's exactly what a coach would say. Limit your turnovers, limit your penalties, things of that nature. Why do you like playing football?
I started pretty late. I started around 7th grade and didn't really know anything. And then I just enjoyed watching and enjoyed really playing Madden. That was really what got me into it. But and ever since then, I've just been in love with it. It's just, it makes me happy, and it's, it gives me something to do. I feel like I could never just sit at home and do nothing.
I mean, any particular part of the game that you like? Because some people love the physicality, some people like scheming, things like that.
I really like the mentality part of it, and just thinking through plays and thinking about how things work. Like, if you write me up a screen or like a formation, I could probably make a decent play out of it.
We talked also, Coach and I, about the competitiveness of the LCL and how it seems to be a very respectful competition. Like, you're probably, you know, going to class with some of the guys you may be playing against down on Friday night. So what is that like? Because I'm always curious. There's so many schools that you play, but everybody knows each other. You know each other in the off season. What is it like?
It's a little weird. I mean, it's really weird for me because I go to CTEC, so I'm in class with some of these kids that I am going to tackle and go against and block, and it's really weird, but it's sort of like you're nice to each other in classroom, but you still have that like little bit that you're ready for it.
Trash talk?
Not really. But the guy I'm next to right now is Heath's quarterback.
Oh, okay.
We are literally like classmates, like right next to each other.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So you're able to just shut that off, though, on a Friday night, right?
They're not my friend on a Friday night.
And I'm sure they say vice versa.
I guarantee it.
Again, this is Captain Obvious. You want more wins in the second half of the season, but as a leader on this team, what are you looking for from your teammates, even from the coaches? What are you looking for the second half of the season?
We need to definitely be a little bit more respectful to each other and to show up for each other. Like, we have a bunch of people missing practice sometimes, and just some of that we need to limit. And really just bring each other together. Like, we need to be closer.
Well, and we talked about that with a culture and kind of a family-like atmosphere, because to have this change, it's going to really start with the senior class. Don't you look at it that way?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need a stronger senior class.
Let's also bring in Athletic Director, Mr. Matt Bowen. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. And you hear Coach and Connor right here as well, and we've talked a lot about culture and trying to be changing the dynamic maybe a little bit of Lakewood. Is that one of the reasons you look to him to lead this program?
Well, big thing for me coming in this year is having somebody that knew the kids. You know, somebody who knew what Lakewood was about, been here forever, and he checked all those boxes, not just knowing all the football stuff, you know. But, you know, somebody spent 13 years at Lakewood as a student, been back 8 years as a teacher and athletic director now. I've seen it from all angles, right? And like he said, it's getting back to where we build that culture where kids want to be at football practice when it's not glamorous, you're not under the lights, it's 100 degrees on an August afternoon or whatever it is. And I felt that Tyler could be the guy that gets those kids out there right now. Does great working with our youth program, our middle school program, so trying to build that pipeline, you know. And, you know, what, we have 40-ish kids on the roster this year, and it's like he said, we need 60, you know, and that's what we've got to get back to. So, but yeah, I think Tyler doing great. He's got kids committed, and kids like Connor here, like he said, right? Kids missing practice, that can't be acceptable, right? And knowing we have people there that are going to set that tone is big for us moving forward.
Lakewood is in your blood, obviously.
Yeah,
and
but,
if you wanted to leave, I don't know that your soul would let you leave. But what, as you've been through it as a student and now as an administrator, obviously, you feel a lot of responsibility to the program and to the community, and that's one reason you're here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, getting the job, and me and Tyler have talked about this, it wasn't something we're going to switch in a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a long 20 years out at Calhoun, 18 years out at Calhoun Memorial Field, you know. So I was lucky enough, my sophomore year was the last year we had a winning record. We went to the playoffs that year, And I would stop by football in the winter and preach to them, you know. We had 40 guys in the weight room all winter consistently, right? And it was kids like Connor that would hold you accountable when you were missing one, you know. And I think my favorite saying, and Tyler's probably tired of hearing it said to his kids, is you don't win football games starting in August. You win football games from November to August, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
That's kind of what we're the tone we're trying to set out there now. And you know, we've been competitive with what we've got. Imagine what we could do when we get 20 more kids committed all year. You know, it's we've got it there. We just got to get over that hump. So,
and one of the first games we did when I got back into this ridiculous business was 3 years ago, and you were playing Heath, and it was right there. And it was just a numbers game, basically.
Yeah.
The skill was there, the physicality was there, and you just kind of said, what if?
Yeah, and I had multiple athletic directors talk to me last year about how, you know, we had one of the most competitive teams that they've seen, competitive Lakewood teams that they've seen. It's just, we got to the third end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, and, you know, our 22 kids that are playing on Friday night are just gassed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to play, you know, 48 minutes when you don't have a sub, or, you know, you're relying on one kid to come in and play one play for you. It's just kids get worn down, and other programs haven't had to endure that. So that's why it's becoming a numbers game, right? We need, you know, 30-40 kids committed that we can rotate in on Friday night. And I'm preaching to the choir to my left here. He knows this, but you know, you get that, you can get kids fresh, and they're coming into the fourth quarter with, you know, fresher legs rather than, you know, having to play 80% of the plays already. So we're just hoping to keep building that. Youth program's has been big this year. Our middle school program's on board, and we have a solid line between our youth athletes and our high school coaches, which is what we need to build that program.
Yep.
So,
Connor, what is it like? Because I know there's some players that just don't want to come off the field. These Friday nights are very few and far between. It's coming to an end, and you don't want to be taken off the field. But so, is there a balance that you would even like?
So, for the past like 2 years, well, I didn't play much last season because I got injured. But last season, I don't think I came out like once, besides maybe a couple special teams plays. But for me, when it comes to coming out, I just feel like if I come out, I'm letting it down. If they make a big play, if we get sacked, if we get a TFL, I was out, so I feel like that leaves me responsible for being out for that play. So it's hard for me.
Are you able to maintain some type of balance with not getting too fatigued when you know you're going to be out there for 50, 60 plays?
Yeah, I get that I'm going to be tired by the fourth, maybe even halfway through the second quarter. I might be gassed, but you have to, like, endear yourself and make sure you know that you are going to be tired, but you can't stop playing. You have to keep playing. There's no matter what.
And is that one of the things you're trying to focus on with your teammates? Like, we got to keep going, guys. Yeah. They're just as tired on the other side. We can do this.
Yeah, we can't give up if they make one big play. Every team makes good plays. That's one thing about football that some people don't understand is every side of the ball, people make big plays. It's how you respond to the big play after that is how you play football.
I would agree with you, except I don't see the Browns ever making too many big plays. But other than that, I digress.
It's been rough.
You won't have to run too many gassers if you say anything too negative about your coach. But what has he been like making the jump from assistant to head coach?
There wasn't much of a jump, I think, because as soon as the whole thing went on with Coach P and he didn't get re-signed, Coach Brown was instantly in the weight room with us. We didn't skip a day. I was there every single day, and we didn't end up skipping because we didn't have a head coach. He still ran it, and we still kept working no matter what. And I feel like I haven't felt a change because I've been through it since January?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you see, and this is kind of a odd question, but do you see what he's trying to build? Do you think players sophomore, junior level are seeing what he's trying to build?
I believe so. Me and our quarterback, Garrett Hardway, we stopped by last year in the middle of, I think, the school day and talked to him when he got signed, and just seeing how he wants to change it and how he'll accept kids no matter what time of the year it is. If you want to play football, come play football. We have a couple soccer kids who randomly come out and they just want to kick. We have, I think, 3 or 4 soccer kids. Yeah, and they just want to come out and help us, and they enjoy football. They love it.
Is that something, Matt, that you're looking for, not just within football, but it is about relationship building with the coaches and the players? Because I know some coaches say it's different today with the players than maybe when you played and things of that nature, but they're still looking for that direction. They're still looking for that leadership, and maybe they have to do it in a different way today. But is that bond, is that something you look for with all your sports?
No, 100%. If kids don't want to play for a coach, you're not going to have a successful team, you know. So it's always at the front of your, you know, the front of your thoughts when you're making those decisions. And, you know, knowing TB and being his coworker for the last 7-8 years, I've seen the relationships he's built with kids and how much he cares about their success, not just on the football field, but in the classroom, right? Being a math teacher and, you know, somebody I was comfortable with, you know, building, keeping those kids around. And we're in this spot at Lakewood right now, and he can attest to it. We have multiple 2-sport athletes in a season, right? I've got volleyball players playing soccer, cross country kids playing soccer, and vice versa. And now we've got some soccer kids on the football team, and it's just where we're at, where we've got to split those athletes up. And you know, Coach Brown and the rest of my coaching staff are great about doing that stuff, too. They work well with each other. Like, half the time, they're working things out that I don't even know about, you know. They tell me at the end, and like, hey, thanks, fellas. It's one less thing on my plate. So, but, yeah, definitely. It was always big for me as a player, right? You know, you take that, those experiences going into this, and you know, like I said, it's always the adage is if a kid doesn't like a coach, it's really hard to get him to play for him. So, and maybe not so much like him, but respect him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and he's got their respect. And I knew that going in, and it's made it an easy decision at late part in the ball game for that, you know.
So we've been talking about you for the last 5 to 7 minutes, and you've been very quiet. But I do think it is important for folks to hear about how you feel it's important to have that coach-player relationship mentality.
Going back to those soccer kids, I mean, a lot of those kids I've had in class, and, you know, but –
they're teammates or classmates with Connor or Garrett, you know, and some of these other guys on our football team, and they've really been a big part of that recruiting, whether it was directly or indirectly. They may not know that or not, but some of them are just, you know, talking to these other players and classmates and talking them into coming out and helping us in some way, shape, or form. And back in the spring, we had, you know, three or four guys that stepped right up and said, hey, they want to do both sports. And I said, you know, if you do that, we'll work with you, number one. And number two is we'll try to get you on the field. I mean, we'll try to use you. Now, it wasn't something that was easy to do.
Right.
It's not something they can just show up and run a play or kick the ball or whatever. I mean, they got to go out and prove that they can do those things as well. So we got some kids helping us in the kicking game. We got kids and soccer players helping us there and also on the defensive side of the ball. But because they are splitting time, there's a learning curve involved, right? They only get 50% of the information every day, and so it takes them twice as long
yep.
to pick up. And so it's a slow process, but a lot of these kids that Coach Bowen mentioned or Connor has recruited or whatever, luckily they're juniors. They're not seniors.
Right.
So potentially we have another year and a half with them.
Gentlemen, this went very quick. We're already out of time. Appreciate you stopping in tonight. All the best against Licking Heights coming up and for the rest of the season. We'll wrap it up after this timeout. You're listening to the Licking County Locker Room live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
338.
Hey, football fans. As you know, a winning team starts with preparation, guidance, and the ability to work as a cohesive unit. Let Par Excellence STEM Academy instill confidence, social skills, and teamwork from the beginning to ensure your child's success as they progress through their grade levels, kindergarten through sixth grade. At Par Excellence STEM Academy, we'll help put the student in the student athlete. Our classes and lunches are free, so enroll today. Find out more at parexcellenceacademy.org or 740-344-7222.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love the sweetness of dessert.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at lashleytractor.com.
Husqvarna's riding lawnmowers are designed from the turf up to deliver cutting-edge performance and versatility for any sized property. Powerful, durable, and easy to operate, Husqvarna riding lawnmowers feature air induction technology cutting decks for superior cutting and pedal-operated transmissions for maximum operator control. And Husqvarna riding lawnmowers can be equipped with a wide variety of attachments to help you maintain your property any time of the year. Check out the versatility of Husqvarna riding mowers at Wright Brothers Power in Newark.
Licking Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage advantage on all kinds of materials like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
There are two types of to-dos. To-dos you want to do and to-dos you gotta do. Hopping on your Coyote tractor to plow a little patch of heaven on your land is a wanna-do. Or flossing before the dentist so they don't suspect flossing is a never-do? That's a gotta-do. For all the to-dos you wanna do, check out the many models of hardworking Coyote CS, CX, and CK tractors. For the gotta-dos, well, Godspeed. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Visit your Coyote dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, 3570 National Road in Hebron, or online at buckeyevalleyequipment.com.
This is the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And that'll wrap it up on this Monday evening. Thanks to our guests again from Lakewood. Wish them the best moving forward on this Friday night. CJ and Graham, thanks as always, doing a great job. We'll be with you Friday night from Whitefield. The Wildcats taking on the Chieftains, pregame 6:45 and live kick at 7. This is Brian Mays. Have a great Monday evening, everybody. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing.